This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Here we go, Hour 3, G-Bag Nation, 105.3 The Fan. Hope you're having a great day. Casey Stern is the host of the Unfiltered Podcast. And you trust him as a baseball expert and a very experienced longtime baseball reporter and insider. Joined us a couple of times last year, including in their historic run through the playoffs and ultimately the World Series championship. And we loved it. So we're excited to get him back here before the season even starts this time around. Casey, good afternoon. Thanks for joining us here on your Home of the Champs.
What's up, boys? Always good to be with you. How we doing, okay?
Yeah, we're doing great. You know, it's been the best offseason we've ever had. It was the best spring training we ever went to. And now Langford made the opening day roster, brother. Tell us about your expectations.
Yeah, I mean, look, when I look at this team, I think it is, you got to remember, extremely difficult to repeat in this sport. Even when the Giants were at their height with Bruce Bochy, it was every other year. And, you know, we came up with all these excuses. One year was the Showtime show, and then it was innings with Bumgarner and the rest of the rotation. And the difficulty is it's the longest of seasons, and it is very, very difficult. It's where depth really plays in. And what I love about the Ranger team is they got a lot of youth. A lot of times when you get to the top of the mountain and you talk about a champion in this sport, the reason they can't repeat is because they're old. So there's too many innings on all the arms, and a lot of those guys can't sustain because they've had their best year in their penultimate, and now they're going down the other way. You've got guys who have not even seen full seasons, have not seen their best, and I think that that certainly is going to be beneficial. What I love to see, and I still hold out hope, even though knowing it's not going to happen, a Monty return, I would have loved to see that. No offense and nothing against Michael Lorenzen. But I think, you know, Lorenzen's a great example of a guy, sometimes when you rob too much of Peter to pay Paul, with guys who are from the bullpen who move into starting rotations. Look at last year with the Phillies, first half, right, all-star, first start with the Phillies, brilliant, throws a no-no afterwards, and then after that, the ERA was somewhere around 8 down the stretch, and he ends up going out of the rotation into the bullpen. I'd love to see another starter, but I like the way the roster.
Is Jordan Montgomery for sure done? You know, do you think he's just...
To me, you never can believe any of this stuff because, you know, JD Martinez yesterday with the Mets is a great example. You know, he and Scott Morris' agent, they're looking for $20 million at one point. And then they end up coming back to a deal, and it's $12 million. But for those who have not seen how this is playing out, it's $4.5 million this year. And then between 2034 and 2038, they divvy up the rest of it. So it's barely anything on the books. Now, if that's the kind of deal that happens, it puts, I think, the Rangers and the Yankees both in play for a couple of different reunions because neither one of those teams want to put money on the books and money on the tax. But if you can come up with some creative way to do it, bring an opt-out back after this year, make it a one-year deal where he goes back out to free agency, I think that's something that's worth doing. The difference is between Snell and Montgomery is I think Snell was a little bit more confident with the opt-outs of what he could do at $31 million free AAV this year and then build off of, where Montgomery, I think, is trying to take advantage of his one opportunity maybe to get that one big deal. It could be Boston, could be the Angels. I'd love to see the Rangers or the Yankees. I think both make the most sense.
Man, we would love to get Monty back. As you look at the AL West and what was such a tight race last year with the Astros, Mariners, and the Rangers, how do you see it as we are just under a week away from opening day now?
Yeah, to me, it's the battle of Texas. I look at these two teams, and they're too deep. And the other part is, that I don't think we look at enough is it always seems to come down in this sport when it's close and tight in races to what you do with the deadline, because you've got the ability to then go ahead and assess the territory and push that pedal. And I always said years ago, came up with this thing, prospects are cool, parades are cooler. The teams that go for the parades get after it. And we saw what happened with both of these teams last year when you get into that deadline territory where they're willing to move. And no offense to Jerry DePoto and, you know, some of these other guys who are willing to make trades every other day. But when the Astros make these deals, they matter. You look at what they've done down the stretch in a lot of these seasons, they're always willing to do that. I think Texas the same way with CY in that group. I think it's a two-horse race, and I think it's going to come down to health. And I'm saying this again. You go to the Verlander injury as an example, right, and how he's starting the season. The youth is on the side of the Rangers in a lot of different spots, and I think that's going to play to their benefit as the season rolls on.
Casey, where do you even start with what's going on with the Dodgers right now?
Yeah.
I mean, a guy like yourself that's just so involved with baseball, how do you even get your arms around this?
Here's the thing. And yeah, obviously, specifically, we're talking about the Ohtani situation.
Yes, sir.
We all love Shohei Ohtani. Nobody wants him. And I don't care what team you root for. We all love the guy and know what he is for the sport. Because of that, you're seeing the way people are handling it as, oh, well, Ohtani didn't do anything wrong. There's nothing to worry about with him. Let's just worry about the games that are being played in the Seoul series. And it must have been the translator. But if you take that away and you look at this honestly, the common sense of it tells you something does not hold water, to use the term my cousin. And a lot of it has to do with the changing of the stories. Do I think that Ohtani gambled all that money? I don't. But I think what played out is exactly probably where the truth lies. If you go back in this story and for 48 hours, guys, both sides, and I'm talking about the interpreter and Ohtani, who were on the same side at the time. Remember, that's his best friend, his confidant, here in the States. They're both going to ESPN and reporting the following. A lot of gambling debt, gambling addiction, very, very apologetic and sorry. Here's the friend in Ohtani who says, I'm not going to lend you the money because you could gamble with it. I'll go ahead and I'll pay it off. So my name's on the books for $4.5 million. And that's where both sides were. And it says it in all the reports, in all the conversations. Then what happened? Well, according to them, and I say according to them in quotes, there was a meeting after the game and in the Seoul series, where then it was an apology from the translator who basically said, hey, this guy had to leave. He's got the big gambling addiction. And it wasn't until that time that Shohei Ohtani understood, quote, the facts and the breadth of what had gone on. I'm not buying that. What I think is Shohei Ohtani is as good a guy as we think, and he seems to be. He probably backed up his buddy and said, hey, look, you got a problem, but I'll hook you up because $4.5 million to me is basically like $6.
Sure.
So I'll take care of it. And then when it came to his people finding out and realizing that it's not about gambling on baseball, you can't gamble in California. It's illegal. And your names are on the books and it's illegality that's now involved. And it's a big problem. Well, now you got to be Jack and Rose on the raft in Titanic. And basically that translator about to be Jack and he about to drown because I got to separate from you. So how this plays out, I don't know. But I think clearly the deviation in the story, in my opinion, common sense-wise, tells you it comes from the people around Ohtani realizing how serious a scenario this is to have his name attached to those people.
Do you think those people panicked? I mean, like, you're placing wagers. That's a slap on the wrist. I don't think baseball really wants to come after you, like, for paying off somebody's debt. I think they made it worse on themselves.
I'm with you. I don't know if necessarily. I think optically it looks worse. I mean, court of public opinion, because the idea that, look, you know, Ohtani, you can't, and I understand it's baseball, you know, acumen that gets an athlete like that here, but he seems like a very smart individual. You can't be what I would consider to be that dumb and naive to be going through all this process and not understand till after a team meeting where, by the way, the translator is then talking to baseball players, so it's not even as incompetent as he would talk to Ohtani. So in that conversation, for me to believe that Ohtani then suddenly realized, oh my gosh, this is a serious situation, and he's, I'm just not buying that. And I think that he's kind of got caught with the pants down a little bit here, but he can definitely sell out the translator who, you know, again, it's not a great situation, but now it's him in the crosshairs and not Ohtani. The one thing I'll say on this, which is a big deal, is that Major League Baseball, if you look at the ESPN report, came out and said they're going to gather facts. People, they're still gathering facts on what happened with the baseball that they changed voluntarily 3-4 years ago, and they act like somebody went in the warehouse and switched them all. They're still gathering facts on why I got to sit there and have a magnifying glass to read the back of jerseys and names on there. They're going to be gathering facts forever because they don't want to find any facts that tell you that Ohtani did anything wrong. Do I think he gambled to a high level? No. Do I think it's exactly as it played out and probably covered his buddy's back and now is backtracking? It seems to be.
Casey Stern, host of the Unfiltered Podcast, here with you on 105.3 The Fan. Thank you for that insight and perspective. Rangers pitching staff, and I'm going to throw a lot of names at you, but what do we expect from Michael Lorenzen, and what do we get in the middle of the season with Scherzer, DeGrom, and Molly?
Yeah, I mean, look, I think the Lorenzen piece, you would hope that he's a depth piece. I mean, I hate saying this, but you do not want him to be viable option for you when you're heading down the stretch into the postseason and playing meaningful games, because that means something went wrong with the horses in DeGrom and Scherzer that you need out there. The X factor, and this is nothing against Max and his age, DeGrom is the X factor in all of this. What to expect, I have no idea, because I followed him in New York and covered that and was around a guy who, when he was pitching on the mound, was they made you the best team in the game. But then you had no idea how many more starts you were going to get out of him. And it's not because he doesn't care. You saw how much he cares. I think the people in Texas saw how much he cares when he went down last year and how emotional he was. He wants to be there. He's been a great teammate. But I think, to me, that health, that's an X factor. The unfortunate part is it has to be kind of, I think, to me, cherry on the pie or icing on the cake. It can't be the cake. The Rangers have to almost act like we're going to get something out of Scherzer and we have no idea what we're going to get out of DeGrom. Because I think that's kind of where you got to lie. And with DeGrom, if he gives you more, you're all of a sudden the best team in baseball every 5 days, and you may be close to that best team even within those other days because of the impact he's going to have on that team. He's that good. He's the best pitcher in the game when he's healthy.
Casey, our big talking point last year was the Rangers' bullpen. Ultimately winning the World Series defied the odds with how poor that bullpen was. Do you think they made enough additions with Kirby Yates and David Robertson, maybe some of the guys they have in the minors, to be able to make that an improved staff?
Yeah, I think they, especially with the D-Rob scenario, I think they've got more consistent, reliable options, and that's where seemingly there were a lot of issues down the stretch where, going even into the postseason, I wasn't breathing and holding my breath for Ranger fans every time Aroldis Chapman got warmed up. So, I think they've got more reliable options. I think it's going to be a wait and see. The one thing I could say about bullpens that I don't think we realize enough in this sport is how many bullpens do you have that are locked down that you trust right now heading into opening day around this sport? Sure. There aren't many. There are teams with good closers who don't have setup guys, or, lefty and a righty, but you don't know which one's going to close, or it's a mishmash all over the board. They've got some time, and these are kind of the times where you can work in some of your guys who are younger, see what you have, and then as you get to the deadline, relievers are the easiest thing to find. But I think they've got more reliable options, at least heading into this season, comparatively to a year.
Okay, so just looking at this Keith Meister Tommy John surgery, I wanted to circle back on DeGrom. What are you hearing about this? It's like a reinforced version of it. We had the story in the morning news a couple of weeks ago, and I was like, man, should this give us confidence that maybe DeGrom could be fixed for good for a while? Or do you think the other injury concerns are, with the rest of his body, still leave you in like a high alert mode or a danger zone for injured players?
Yeah, clearly I'm not a doctor, but I didn't stay in a Holiday Inn Express last night either, so I don't feel like one, but I will say this. That I think that, we always see with these injuries the overcompensating when there is one issue with other parts of the arm and the body. Anytime anybody has had any shoulder issues, that's always to me a red flag of everything else, that no matter what goes on with Tommy John. I've read it too, and I'm sitting there same as you, and I'm hopeful that it means he's in a better situation. But the truth is, you're not going to know until you air it out. And when we talk about airing it out, he airing it out at 99, 100, 101 and letting it go. Until that happens, it's no different in a lot of respects than somebody who could tell you they did everything that you want to come back from a torn ACL, Achilles, or any injury like that. And until you go run in the gap in left center field and go after a ball and really let it go, you could simulate everything you want left and right. But I think we'll get good reports, and I think they will continue to be good, hopefully, fingers crossed. But not until he gets back to a big league mound and really airs it out, are we going to find out whether or not this is going to hold.
Casey, this with Chris Young and him winning the World Series, winning the championship, Are we going to have a day where we see more players become general managers that teams go to instead of maybe the baseball lifer, the guy who's come up through the scouting staff and the departments and all that? Are we going to see maybe more players get these opportunities to be general managers?
Yeah, you know, it's a good question. I mean, we've got, you know, a lot of backup catchers that have become managers, including one who's sitting there with you, and that was, you know, all the rage all over the place with the Girardis and how many other guys. And then you get the clubhouse guys who become managers. And when it comes to the GMs, especially today with the analytics, you've got a lot of guys who have worked in front offices and been farm directors and then sat there and are analytical-minded, the David Stearns of the world, for example, in New York, Andrew Friedman, of course, in Los Angeles with the Dodgers. But I do think there's a lot of value. For me, anytime you could cross over, I'll give you an example. You know, one of the reasons why Craig Counsell is one of the best managers in baseball is that people don't realize not only was he a great clubhouse guy, but when he went into the Brewers system, he was a guy who was helping run their farm and working in drafting and developing and dealing with younger players. So he got that vantage point when he came off the field and then brought it into the dugout. Chris Young bringing it from the field, right? Then into the front office and now GMing. I think it's a great question. I do think there should be more of that. The only part of why I hesitate to say that the answer is yes, is everything is so based on analytics now that even though these guys could say, hey, I can get an analytics team, a lot of times players are seen as guys who are more of the eye test kind of folks. So I think it's being changed with the Craig Breslows, who's another one in Boston, with the Chris Youngs, a lot of very smart people who played, who are getting into the front office. And I do think it could change the perception and make it more of a reality moving forward.
Casey, speaking of the eye test, I'm going to play you some sound here of some analysis of a current Ranger. I want to play a little quiz with you. Name that Ranger, okay?
Okay.
So here is the sound.
You know, what he's got working there between the knee and the waist is pretty impressive.
That's your only hint there. Can you name that Texas Ranger?
I feel like there are so many connotations that could go wrong with whatever the answer is to this.
Is it relating
to a swing? I would imagine. Are we talking about hips here? I don't know. Every answer's got to come down to being, for me, I'll go after last year's Corey Seager.
Okay, it's a fair guess. It's a fair guess. That is not the correct answer, but we'll continue to play this with you until you get it correct over the course of the baseball season.
Okay, fair enough.
Might want to go into that clubhouse.
That was a rough start. But
it's all right.
Saying it's a good answer because it's an actual player on the team. Like, was that close?
Yes,
you were close. Like,
okay. Yeah, absolutely.
It is an actual player.
Okay, fair enough.
And, sir, did you say that with the Montgomery thing that a deferred compensation deal is available if you want him and it would only count four and a half on the books?
No, well, I don't know that he's going to accept that. I mean, okay. Look, you know, it's like J.D. Martinez wasn't going to accept anything less than 20 million. They took it 12 and, you know, with a deferral at 4.5.
I like it.
Montgomery's trying to cash in.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know why this deal hasn't taken place other than the fact that I think the teams that have been in on him, he doesn't want to play for necessarily. There have been ties to Boston. You know, the Angels seemingly have money. But, you know, with Snell off the books, there shouldn't be anything blocking him at this point. Personally, I think he would like to, and who wouldn't, go back to Texas. And I don't think that they've wanted to budge to whatever the number is. And I think he'd have interest in going back to the Yankees. And they have not wanted to put money in the books for the tax. But now you're already seeing guys, look, Blake Snell can't start on time, wants to be ready opening week. J.D. Martinez is starting in the minors, told the Mets when they signed him, no problem, I'll start down there and get ready. You're not even going to have, wherever Montgomery goes, you're not going to have money right now, no matter what he's simulated to start the season. So the clock's ticking, but the more it ticks, the more it favors the teams because the player knows he has got to accept something and get on the field.
I love it, Casey. Great stuff. We look forward to your coverage and the Unfiltered podcast all season long.
Anytime, guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks, brother.
The best.
Wow. Yeah, great resource for you. Love his sports takes and his insights. And we salute Casey, and we'll get him on throughout the season. Stay tuned. Okay, when we come back, G-Bag Nation, it's time for the top 10. Wolchuk, where are you going?
Well, there's so much hoop talk. What are the top 10 best basketball movies of all time? What's your favorite basketball film? That's next on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Yeah, buddy, welcome back, G-Bag Nation. It's time now for a Top 10 at 420 segment of the nation is brought to you by the Frankels. Life is unpredictable. Accidents happen. Franklin Frankel, the go-to attorneys for car and truck wrecks in DFW. If your loved one's been in an accident, contact the Frankels 214 or 817-333-3333. Go online to frankelfirm.com. Here is Zach Wolchuk, your Top 10.
Man, it is the midst of March Madness. We also have the Mavs on a heater right now, and I was like, okay, what could we do that would be fun with this? Let's do top 10 basketball movies of all time. What is your favorite basketball film? And you know, we've done this overall with baseball, I think, as well, and there's a lot of good baseball movies. There's actually a lot of good basketball movies as well. 877-881-1053. Already got texts for Space Jam, Blue Chips, rolling in. A lot of people were giving me White Men Can't Jump on the Twitters. Hoop Dreams, I think, is a personal favorite of mine, which is actually a documentary. It's absolutely fantastic. If you've not seen Hoop Dreams, came out in 1994, follows a couple of teens from inner city Chicago who dream of becoming NBA stars, and it follows them throughout high school. It's absolutely incredible. But there are a lot to choose from, and we can kick it around. We'll start with you there, Lucius.
Yo.
Favorite basketball movie?
I mean, there's a whole lot.
So many.
Yeah, Loving Basketball. Mm-hmm. Sunset Park. Hey! Sunset Park, what time is it? He Got Game. More Than a Game. You ever seen More Than a Game?
Not More Than a Game. No.
More Than a Game is great with LeBron and his peoples.
Hmm.
That's really good,
When
man.
Did it come out?
I feel like it's been out for a long time. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, I have seen that,
it's
actually.
Really good.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
I don't think I've seen More Than a Game.
Fish Who Saved Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How was the Hulu doc last night?
It was good.
I saw the trailer for it. Yeah. I was like, damn, that actually looks really good.
It's crazy when you see some people that pop up, you're like, oh, I know that cat.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's real.
It seemed like it was a who's who. Like, everybody was out there for that.
Yeah, it was
party.
Good, man.
What do you guys?
I liked the Giannis show Rise on Disney. That was really cool. But, you know, I'm trying to think here. I think Coach Carter.
Yeah.
You know, that's one of those that's kind of.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's got you know, a different to it. I think the Hustle Adam Sandler movie last year was fantastic as
Hustle
well.
Hustle was really good. Did you guys see Finding Forrester with Sean Connery?
Yes.
No. That is a great movie.
Yes.
Super underrated.
Yeah. Yeah, it's another one of those that's just basketball's in it, but it's
But it's about life. It's about like growing up as a man. Really, really good. The Air. Oh, Air. Yes, Air that just came out. On
the Nike
movie. Yeah,
I was gonna say Netflix, but maybe it wasn't.
Was it Netflix?
I was kind of let down by that movie. I thought it was okay.
I liked it a lot. I thought it was really good, but it didn't end up getting any awards love, and I thought maybe it would. But maybe you're right. Maybe some other people expected more out of it, and it didn't quite deliver. Honorable mentions: we've got Air Bud, of course. Basketball is one. We've got Air Up There with Kevin Bacon, Teen Wolf, Michael J. Fox, The Sixth Man,
ooh,
Marlon Wayans.
Give me a keg of beer.
We've got Uncle Drew, Kyrie's movie, is an honorable mention.
Oh, I never saw that
one. I never saw it either. Basketball Diaries with Leo in 1995 when he was just a young man.
I believe that's dark. Yeah.
I never saw it, but it could be very emotional. Finding Forrester, certainly on here. Like Mike is an honorable mention.
Yes, that would be Like Mike, Juana Man, two that stand
Juana
out
Man's
to me.
Hilarious.
Absolutely hilarious. I haven't seen it in a long time. So
it's a movie that ended
up
being...
I need to rewatch it and see how... But whenever I was younger, dude, I actually loved it.
Because we talked about it on the nosebleed seats, and then I kept seeing it pop up on, like, HBO. It just kept on.
Really?
Like, he was just on. I'm like, okay, so I'd catch, like, the last 30 minutes of it or whatever. Hoosiers is getting texted in, loving basketball. Coach Carter, he got game. Glory Road,
Glory
the
Road
sixth man.
It was really good.
Yeah, Glory Road's really good.
Forget Paris is a, I think it's like a rom-com. Okay. And it's Billy Crystal as an NBA referee.
Oh, that's awesome.
But it has a lot to do with like his own personal life, but his job is being an NBA referee.
Fits.
So it's basketball as hell.
Could we say Uncut Gems is a basketball movie? It's not on this list. But
Kevin Garnett.
Kevin Garnett's in it. He's betting on basketball. That's an outstanding film. Very, very tough watch. Semi-Pro, Will Ferrell.
Mm.
Hustle.
Probably the funniest basketball movie of all time.
It's hilarious. Hustle is an honorable mention. High Flying Bird, Steven Soderbergh movie from 2019. And then the final honorable mention... The Pistol, The Birth of a Legend.
Oh, Pistol Pete.
Yeah, follows the inspiring story of Pistol Pete Maravich. And I think that got texted in as well.
Dude, 870 says Finding Forrester is in my top five movie of all time.
It's a fantastic movie.
Yeah, it's great.
It's really, really good. Along Came Polly.
Rain Dance, baby.
Let it rain. Remember the Titans football movie, so it doesn't really fit here. The Fish That Saved Pittsburgh. Being
Lucius mentioned that one.
Yeah. Hurricane Season.
Hey, Lucius, you ever see Flubber? You know the movie I'm talking
Robin
about?
Williams? Yeah, yeah. Which one?
The Disney movie?
Because isn't I'm there like, about like two the, of them? Because yeah, the old school one, the original.
Fred McMurray, I think, was in that. It's the black and white version.
I sure
of it.
Have.
Robin Flubber. Williams was in the remake, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Flubber was actually pretty funny.
Yeah, that was great.
Old guys invented like basketball shoes. They're able to bounce
Holy
around.
Crap, you're right. Yeah. It's been so long since I've seen that, but that does have basketball ties to it.
It does.
Yeah. Number 10 is Love and Basketball. Shout out to Omar Epps. We were talking about him yesterday. Number 9 is Blue Chips. Nick Nolte, Mary McDonnell, and Shaq. That movie is great. It's been a long time since I've seen Blue Chips, but that's an awesome movie.
Oh, dude, what's the movie with Shaq? I don't think there's anything basketball in it, but it's
Shazam.
Shazam.
Oh,
Shazam.
Yeah.
Hey, dude. Heck yeah, that counts.
Yeah, it does. Number 8 is Above the Rim. Shout out to Tupac. Number 7.
Great soundtrack, too, by the way.
Oh, I have no doubt. 7 and 94 seems like it was kind of a golden year for basketball movies. 7 is Hoop Dreams, which I was talking about. Follows William Gates, Arthur Agee. Those were the two kids that were in it. If you haven't seen it, it's a must watch. Number 6 is Glory Road. Glory Road is really damn good.
Yeah.
It's a fantastic movie. Top 5 here, top 5 basketball movies. Number 5 is indeed Space Jam.
You know, this is one I just don't get. I think it is heavily weighted from Gen Z.
It's my
generation. Yeah, it came in your youth, and you guys are like holding it strong now.
I think it's just nostalgia. Yeah. I will say the remake they came out with LeBron, I watched it. I didn't like it. Didn't do anything for me. But Space Jam is just so nostalgic. It really, really is. I'll definitely ride with Space Jam. Luck of the Irish, the Disney original movie, got texted in.
214 says the worst basketball movie ever made was Disney's Double Teamed with the twin sisters.
Can you believe that they actually called that movie Double Teamed?
You know, the more that I think about it.
Like, that should have been a let's stop, think of what we just did here, and... I deleted
that
tweet.
Let's reverse course.
We should have probably thought of another name. I mean, it fits. It's a basketball connotation. I mean, this happens a lot of times with sports and analogies. But I think that other people would think differently about that when they first hear the title. Number 4, He Got Game. Denzel. Ray Allen. Emilio Djokovic.
Okay.
Did you see He Got Game?
No, I was just looking up because the movie wasn't called Flubber. It was called The Absent-Minded Professor. That's the name of the
but
movie.
But he created Flubber.
He created Flubber. 1961 is when that.
I know where you're going with it. I'm not nitpicky like these people on the fan text.
I
know
thought
where
it
you're
was
going,
called
bro.
Flubber, and I'm like, man, I don't think it's called Flubber in my mind. I'm not.
Flubber was that Robin Williams green goo. I mean, I think it's probably the same type
premise.
Of
yeah,
premise. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Number 3 is Coach Carter. Shout out to Samuel L. Jackson. a great movie. Powerful drama. Number two, best basketball movie of all time, White Men Can't Jump. Did you end up watching the remake that they came out with on Hulu, Lucius?
I did.
Was it any good?
I wasn't mad at it.
Okay.
You know, don't think about it being White Men Can't Jump connected whatsoever. Just think about it being this own isolated movie. And it wasn't bad. Yeah, it was cool.
How was Jack Harlow? Could he actually act?
Yeah, he was good.
He was good?
Yeah, he's the best thing in the movie.
Oh, damn. Okay. Yeah. Maybe I should check that out if I get some free time on an afternoon. But number one, best basketball movie.
John Tucker Must Die.
Is that a basketball film?
Oh, yeah. He was balling.
Yeah, he was, actually.
Teen Wolf.
Playing a little basketball, too.
No, Teen Wolf was an honorable mention. Hoosiers. Hoosiers is number one with Gene Hackman, of course.
Man, growing up before the 90s, like you said, the 1994 basketball movie skyrocketed.
They did.
That Hoosiers movie was the basketball movie of record. Yeah. Everybody talked about
it. Dude, Hoosiers is beloved, and it is. It's a fantastic movie. It's a classic.
Hickory, right?
Yeah, indeed. Gene Hackman.
Yeah, I think the Pacers, every once in a while, break out. They'll do the Hickory uniforms, as a tribute to that.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
We got a mock draft roundup. We'll ask our draft experts, Broadus and Wolchuk, would they like the Cowboys to take these players that various media outlets have selected them for? That's coming up next in the Nation. Thank you, Lucius. It is the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Hope you're having a great day. It is time now for maybe just our second NFL draft big board report of the season, with the draft coming up in just about a month. We're going to be there, month and a week. And so that's exciting times. And we're now under a week away from opening day here on your home of the World Series champs. Again, congratulations to Wyatt Langford. You want to crack a coldie and celebrate? Just remember what you're drinking and what you're thinking is coming up at 5:20 here on The Fan. Okay. I'm going to give you the player and the different mockers that have selected guy. Okay. From what I can gather from you guys so far, maybe this would be a reach, but both Mel Kiper and our guy Dane Brugler like Oklahoma tackle Tyler Guyton for the Cowboys at 24. What would be your instant reaction live on air that Thursday night, guys?
Wouldn't have a problem with that myself. You know, it seems like to me the tackles, there's going to be a run on them. And it's probably going to start in the middle of the board. My guess would be somewhere around 14, 15, we're going to start to see a bunch of these guys go. And that's kind of where you're going to be left with the tackles. I know that Mims from Georgia was a possibility there. You know, hearing some good, hearing some bad on him. But I wouldn't have a problem with guy. I just, he's a right tackle, though, right now. So he's not a... You know, if you're, and the whole thing is you're kind of looking for a left tackle here.
Yeah, that's what Dane Brugler said. Built in a similar mold to Tyron Smith, isn't quite as freaky, but the college right tackle has dynamic ability.
Yeah.
Possibly at left tackle. Is that a deal breaker for you, Wolchuk?
No, I mean, to me, Latham, I think, is a guy that is a right tackle only type of player. The Alabama guy. So if he slid to you, I don't think you can move him over to the other side. I think you see enough athleticism when you watch Tyler Guyton that he can kick over and switch to the left side for me. So I don't have an issue with it.
Bucky Brooks likes Guyton going to the Cowboys as well there at 24. So popular pick. Now, how would you guys, you know, compare him to how you'd evaluated Tyler Smith?
I feel like I was wrong about Tyler Smith. I didn't have a first round grade on Tyler Smith. So, you know, the questions about Tyler Smith were it wasn't his strength. It was
the hand placement.
Yeah. Why is he kind of a clutch grab guy? He gets out of position. Mm-hmm. You know, the thing with actually Guyton's a much bigger man.
Very big, 6'7". I mean, yeah. He's a big boy, and he's got room to fill out that frame more.
And I wonder if somebody in that building over there, when they describe to Jerry Jones what Guyton could be, because I learned this working firsthand there. If you tell him who you think this guy reminds you of, it paints a better picture for Jerry. I wonder if he's thinking of Flozell Adams.
Wow.
When he looks at a guy like someone will say, Jerry, this guy is like Flozell Adams. And then that would paint a better picture to Jerry to understand. But I didn't have a first round grade on Tyler Smith. But the athletic ability and all that was, but I thought some of the footwork, some of the hand placement,
yeah.
I thought that was really off.
Yeah, and I think both of them, when it comes to their technique, is a little sloppy. I mean, yeah. When they were both coming out, I think you see both of them athletic traits, but I think when scouts looked at both, they're probably, or offensive line coaches, they're like, holy hell, this is a dude I can work with. And I think Guyton's one of those dudes as well. He can really fill out. When you mentioned Flozell Adams, in my notes with Guyton, that's his best trait for me. He's aggressive, fires off the ball in the run game.
Okay, the guy who got the second most mocks or actually was tied with Guyton there is Mims. And you have Lance Zierlein, Calvin Watkins, and Michael Milhurst-Schwartz of the USA Today mocking him to the Cowboys. Do you guys have a strong preference one way or the other?
I preferred Mims to Guyton. I wonder if people, one, have issues with maybe how Mims meets and the lack of playing time. You know, like, yeah. I don't know about, like, the football IQ is tough to judge, and he only started 8 games total. There were 6 games this past year, started a couple of games in the college football playoff, but the tape that you watch for that guy, really impressive. I mean, he's a massive dude, and you watch him against Ohio State 2 years ago. He was absolutely fantastic. So I think Mims, to me, if I could choose between the two, better than Guyton. But again, I don't know how Mims is doing in those meetings.
Yeah, I think that Zach's got him right. Both massive guys, once again. The one, Mims lacks experience. But, man, I mean, when he does play, you see it. We always talk about the floor and the ceiling thing. Man, that the ceiling on this guy could be pretty high. The thing that I think that Zach's kind of talking about too is when you are we getting everything out of him when we put him on the boards and things like that. You know, where I mean that's the thing. I'm not saying it's something I've heard or anything, but you always wonder about these offensive linemen when they put them in a room, and especially a guy that doesn't have a lot of experience,
mm-hmm.
and they say, okay, recall this play for us, diagram this play for us. What's your read here? And a guy that maybe hasn't seen everything might not be as clean doing that. And that's where I think that maybe, you know, with Mims or any one of these linemen, any one of these guys.
Could be the same for Guyton.
Yeah, same thing. But I wonder how that's playing out. I agree with you on that.
Man, we're having a fight about on the text right now. I'm seeing dancing bear fight. Waltruck, are you getting in a dancing bear fight right now?
Some guy says that I don't define dancing bear correctly. He thinks that it's a right or left tackle that just has good feet. That's also nasty. It's not a defensive tackle that.
It's any lineman. Big. It's a big lineman.
I think it can go both.
Is that
ways.
OL or DL?
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Okay,
you could.
Like, Vita Vea is considered a dancing bear.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, you got Florida State wide receiver Keon Coleman, Penn State edge Chop Robinson, and then the center Jackson Powers Johnson. Who
here we go
is those are the next three guys there. See, that's everybody else who's gotten votes.
Yeah, this is where with the Powers Johnson situation, you know, you, media scouts are trying to catch up with the actual scouts. You know, you're hearing there may be some things medically that you might have to deal with this guy. I was wondering why Mel Kiper didn't have him in his first round mocks. I was wondering why Daniel Jeremiah lowered him the other day. I think the media scouts are starting to catch up the whispers that they're talking about some of these players when it comes to their overall health. And maybe that might be a guy, the fact that Kiper doesn't have him in any of his first round mocks.
That's awful suspicious.
Right, like yeah. that means there's a medical red flag.
That would
be my first guess, and I don't know that, but I would guess that some team has given him some information that maybe there's something with the medical you got to look at there.
I agree.
A wide receiver or edge, what would be your reaction just to the position? I would be like, wow, you better have gotten the best player, and it better be clear here by week four.
The edge makes sense considering they've had so many walk out the door, and how much do you trust Sam Williams to play? You know, and how far along are you now with Tank Lawrence? You know, where are we on that?
Like the two names, if they slid to you, that I would consider, I don't know about you, Brian, but Jared Verse from Florida State, if he slid, I think that's DeMarcus Lawrence replacement. He plays both the run and pass very, very well. Laitu Latu, I think, is the best pass rushing edge. Again, though, there's going to be questions on the medical. We might be looking at Laitu Latu. We think he's the best edge. He slides out of the first round because teams medically maybe didn't clear him.
He played at Washington, University of Washington, and they asked him not to play anymore. And then transferred to UCLA, and they gave him the ability to go on and play. And he had a medical issue that he was dealing with.
But gosh, the tape's good,
really good.
I see the offensive line as a big need and something you got to fix if you want to win a championship. But it's also possible we might just be in long term building mode here, and you know, preparing for them to do things in this draft. You know, that don't necessarily have the needs in mind, I think is something we might have to get used to here going in. I think last year they definitely drafted for need and it bit them. So I think that's what we want is just go BPA.
Yeah, it's going to be tough for them, I think. The way that the board's set up, though, that they can grab them a tackle or they can grab a center or that, you know, the linebacker's probably not as is probably not as good just because of some of the medical considerations you're dealing with.
Yeah, I got my fingers crossed on Graham Barton out of Duke, but I don't know that they love him as much as I do. Yeah. We'll see.
Eric, where would you like to take us next?
March's finest. Let's unite to make fun of Kentucky, okay? And then the face of this year's madness introduced himself to the entire world last night. That's next year in the Nation.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.